Good morning and welcome to your morning tradition with Mike and Lisa Austin here at Magnificat Radio on MagnificatMedia.com. We are your morning tradition.
Howdy.
A Friday morning. The end. Hey, the last day of the month.
Yeah, yes, it is.
It's almost August
it's
already.
It's the last day of the week. Tomorrow's Saturday.
Yeah, but the summer is over.
Yeah, it pretty much is, isn't it?
I mean, it's going to stay warm for a while, but...
It's gone fast.
To me, you get into August, it's time to start thinking fall. Well, I mean, the back-to-school stuff is in stores, has been already for a while. We've got back-to-school clothing out already. Yeah. Well, welcome aboard. And what is going to be a very interesting and educational show for us all. Because coming up later, we're going to have two segments with... Because I think Father is going to... He told us that he has a lot to say and wanted to in an hour. He said we could probably cover an hour. And I said, whoa, we only have an hour-long show, and we've got other things we've got to get into. So, but we're going to have Father Peter Scott on with us this morning via Skype from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Is it South Africa where he is?
It is South Africa. Oh. I have to correct that. I corrected you yesterday.
Yes. You did?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
And I was wrong, Mike. You were right.
Wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to just bring this to your attention.
What?
Lisa, would you please say that again?
You're right, Mike.
No, that's not what you said.
You were right.
No, that's not what you said.
I was wrong?
Yes.
Oh.
You need to say it. I was wrong, and you are right. The angels are singing. I'm sorry. Hang on. Please bring in the angels. Thank you. Lisa was wrong. And I was right. Okay, enough of that. So, Father Peter Scott will be on with us from Rudaport.
No, Rudaport.
Rudaport.
And it is in South Africa.
In South Africa. Because
yes.
It's right near Johannesburg.
Yes.
It's Soweto.
Yes.
All right.
You were right.
All right. So, we are going to have Father Scott on. They just built a school in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking to him on the phone about this, and or was on Skype about this, and getting ready for today's show. And he said, you have to sort of give me a chance to talk about how we got to this point. Because
yeah.
To understand the school and the need for the school, you have to go back to when, you know, you're talking apartheid, you're talking all this other stuff.
Oh, it was very interesting.
So,
what history?
That's coming up here in a little bit. We're going to talk to Father Peter Scott on Skype about the school they built, the need to grow the school already again, and what that's like and what it is life is like in South Africa. Mm-hmm. I have in my head what it is like.
Yeah, but it's nothing what he experiences.
But it's not. Yeah, it's we can only. So he's going to talk on his own about what he is experiencing. And how we can all help out and things like that. So
right.
We're going to dedicate a whole bunch of the show this morning and let Father Scott do his thing via Skype. It's going to be exciting.
From South Africa.
From South Africa. We should have a big stager or something for that. I don't know. Well, the Saint of the Day is coming up. And then again later on the day at noon and at 7 o'clock. This is Central, noon and 7 o'clock Central Time, U.S.,
is the Ten Commandments.
Will be another conference on the Ten Commandments pre-recorded by Father Scott when he was in Canada.
Correct.
So we have it's a whole day of Father Peter Scott, man.
Hey, that's okay.
I guess so. Right now, the question I have on my mind is, how can you know where you're going
if you don't know where you've been?
That's why we do this day in history.
We have made history.
Any day in history.
A day that will go down in history.
History of this day.
This day in history.
This day in history.
Today happens to be July the 31st. 'Tis the last day of July, my friends. In the year of our Lord, 2015, the 212th day of the year, there are 153 of these babies left to go. And it was on this day in 30 BC, the Battle of Alexandria. This is where Mark Antony... Not the singer, Mark Antony, the historical guy, Cleopatra, all that. He achieved a minor victory over Octavian's forces, but most of his army deserted, leading to his suicide.
Wow.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay.
And on this day in 432, St. Sixtus III begins his reign as Catholic Pope.
'Twas on this day in 768, Philip began and ended his reign as Catholic Pope.
Yeah.
Oh, 1 year.
And on this day in 1498, Christopher Columbus, on his third voyage, discovers the island of Trinidad.
Yaman. Yaman.
Mm-hmm.
In 1893, Henry Perkey, which let's just take in that name for a second. Hello, I'm Henry Perkey. Good old Henry Perkey. I bet he was always an up kind of guy.
He could have been.
Because he's perky. Anyway, right. Yesterday we had breakfast cereal. Today we have breakfast cereal. He patented shredded wheat, which who really likes that stuff anyway?
Yeah.
It's like eating mud.
It turns to sogginess.
Mud.
Yeah.
All right.
And on this day in 1912, the U.S. government prohibits movies and photos of prize fighters.
Prize fights.
Oh, prize fights.
Too
thank
violent.
You. Hey, and I have to thank you. Today you gave me an easy day.
Yeah, there you go. I usually try and pick the really tough words for Lisa because it's kind of fun. And there you go. Now you know where it is that you have been. That's Magnificat Radio's Day in History. That really worked out.
Well,
I had some timing, baby.
You're good at that.
We really need to take a break because I got to go get some shredded wheat.
No, you don't.
No. Shredded wheat's good if you put enough, like, sugar in it.
Mm.
If you can get shredded wheat and you put enough, some nuts and some honey and some cranberries and a few grapes, possibly some seeds of some kind.
I guess so.
Peanut butter, I don't know, whatever
Ew.
You can put in there to get rid of the shredded wheatiness of shredded wheat. Thank you, Henry Perkey, for that. MagnificatMedia.com. This is your morning tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin, we're going to come back here and we're going to open up the line to South Africa via Skype.
I can't wait.
He will be Father Peter Scott on with us to talk about the school there in Rudeport. I sound Irish when I say it. Rudeport.
In South Africa.
Rudeport. Anyway, so Father Peter Scott up next. Your morning tradition. Good morning. Welcome to your Friday, the last day of July. Mike and Lisa Austin, living our
faith.
We are back. Mike and Lisa Austin here on Magnificat Radio. Your morning tradition. A very refreshing Friday morning. I don't know about where you are, but here in the Midwest, the humidity was really suppressive, and then it got real nice the last couple of days.
Yeah, it did. Not bad.
Pretty nice.
The nights have been great.
Let's talk about how the weather is in South Africa, because we've just pulled that up. Skype is a wonderful thing, and right now, please join us here on Magnificat Radio as we go to South Africa at Rudeport. He's Father Peter Scott is on Skype with us this morning. Father Scott, it is such an honor to have you on, and good morning and welcome to your morning tradition.
How are you doing this morning?
Now,
actually, this evening for me.
I was going to say, it's morning for us. For you, it must be, is it late in the evening? How many hours of difference are we?
Seven.
We're seven
hours ahead of you here.
Okay.
I'm in Johannesburg, or a suburb of Johannesburg, which is called Rudeport. Johannesburg is the biggest city of South Africa. It has a population of about 9 million.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, big. Well, congratulations on the new school, by the way. And I was hoping talk a little bit about that. The school is meant for, in this country, our Catholic schools, we would... You know, we would see children from a Catholic neighborhood or from the neighboring, you know, the houses, all in their uniforms, and they all show up. What is it like in Africa? Is it the same? Are there children locally, Catholic children, coming to school?
The situation is quite different from what you're used to. Our school here is a mission school. And to understand the school, we have to understand a little bit of the radical change that has taken place in South Africa over the past 20 years or so.
Okay.
The Europeans are leaving in droves rapidly, and as a consequence, the economy is faltering. But with that happening, the Africans are taking over and moving into neighborhoods and jobs and positions. And the makeup of the South African population is very curious, because there are 11 official languages in this country, and we have in Johannesburg people from all of those different parts of the country with all their different languages, and they all have their little areas. In the area of Johannesburg, we have the townships. Many of our students come from the largest of those townships, which is well known, the township of Soweto. The township of Soweto is where they had the riots
right.
in 1976.
Yes.
And it has quite a violent history, but it's full of Catholics who moved there from all the rural areas around this country, and the missionaries did incredibly good work in South Africa. When these people moved to the big city, they brought their faith with them. And so there are parishes around, and quite a minority, but still a good number of Catholics. What we have here in Roodepoort is a mixture. We have students who come from the Soweto, the township areas, and other similar townships. We have some students who even live in the slums. We have students who come from the Roodepoort area. Roodepoort is not where the local South Africans live. It's where there are foreigners. There's a huge number of foreigners in this country, Zimbabweans, Mozambicans in particular, and they live in this area too. Mm. Now, why have they come here? They all know that education is so important, and they will make great sacrifices to educate their children, because otherwise they can't get out of the slums and they can't get a decent job, and because there's 25% unemployment. That's the official figure in this country. But it's actually much higher than that in reality.
Whoa.
Because
wow.
the economy is very flat, and there's no moving it. And so there's a great deal of poverty and suffering, and so they know that the only way to get out of that is education. They also know the Catholic Church has got a reputation for giving a good education, and they appreciate the faith. One thing about the Africans here, they love to hear about God. They love to hear about the faith. They like to hear about the commandments of God. They're not always very good at keeping them, but they love to hear about them. And they have this appreciation for the things of God. And so that, you know, normally if somebody comes to a school and says, well, I'd like to put my children in the school, and say, well, wait a second, you have to study religion, you have to study the Ten Commandments, you have to know how to say your prayers, you have to go to Mass. Oh, Father, that's just what we wanted to hear. They all say the same thing. And it's the openness to the things of God is extraordinary, especially given the poverty and the disadvantaged condition in which they live. So until about 2 years ago, this school had about 15, 20 students in it. And now we have 97 students in the school, and
fantastic.
I have already 20 more signed up already for 2016.
Isn't it funny, though, it seems no matter where in the world, throughout history even, that when mankind is at its lowest, its most poverty-stricken, that's when it seems we're most open to the faith.
It's certainly true that when we have an abundance of material possessions, it's natural for man not to think of supernatural things, the divine things. And when we don't have these things, then we have an openness of mind to it. That reminds us of my assistant here, Father Kimball. He just got back from Lesotho. We have a mission in Lesotho. Lesotho is an independent country, totally surrounded by South Africa, very poor. And the people have nothing there. They don't have running water. They don't have electricity. But they live off the land. And we go there, and those people are so delighted to see a priest. They flock around. They come to Mass. They'll say their prayers. There's no resistance to thinking about God and praying. They love to do it. And the people around here are a little bit more sophisticated because it's a city. But still, there is this openness that I have not seen anywhere else in the world where I've been. And for example, today I go walking to the store, and I'm stopped by two guys, and they say, Father, how do you say the rosary? I say, well, why don't you come to our rosary this evening and I'll show you. And they were there. And those things happen all the time. We have people knocking on our gate all the time for rosaries, and they love to pray the rosary or to have the rosary. Some of them don't even know how to pray it. But there's a love for spiritual things and openness for it, which makes it quite a joy dealing with the people. The people have got lots of problems.
Sure.
There's lots of moral problems. We have lots of orphans, lots of AIDS orphans, and lots of marriage breakdowns, and lots of single mothers because of all the social problems, but yet they still yearn for God. Mm. And it's very interesting to note that.
Yes. So obviously then there is a great need for this school. There has been and there continues to be. God be praised that it's grown so much. The physical school that you just finished building this school, is that correct?
The situation is this. In 1991, the Society of St. Pius X purchased what was the old town school of Rudaport. It was the old public school. And the society purchased it for a psalm, and we figured that was a priory and it's a church, okay, which we live in now. And it was not until a few years later that one of the priests got the idea of starting up a school, Father Wall. And it started but didn't get very far. It was a small school, but it did fine. But it was for the white parishioners who originally were the center of the traditional movement in Johannesburg.
I see.
Okay. Now, most of those have moved on, passed on, or grown older. And now we're getting a new group of parishioners coming in who are Africans. And they are moving towards tradition because Africans love true religion, prayer, the sense of the sacred, adoration. They like these things, and they are drawn towards them. And so they don't fully understand the whole crisis in the church, certainly, but they're drawn towards sacred things. And so we have this town school, which we use half of it as our priory for the sisters and for the priests and for the church. And then we had five classrooms, which we used for our school. But the school grew, and there's no more any room. And until June of this year, we had 95 students all pushed into corners all over the place. And so I decided last October, we have to build a new school. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know how I was going to do it, but we just launched, trusting in divine providence. Okay. We built a school with six classrooms and new bathrooms. And it's finished and has already been blessed. It was blessed, in fact, on the 20th of July by the district superior, Father Duverger, and fully in use, and it's already full. And so now I'm scratching my head, what to do? We've got to grow some more. There is such an interest in the school. And so I'm now trying to purchase the adjoining property, which was a factory, which has now been abandoned, because we need to have further growth of the school.
Since it's a factory and it's abandoned, would it have to be, for lack of a better term, sort of not cleaned up from graffiti and that, but is there a criminal element that's taken over inside the factory, an empty
the
building
toxic
like that?
Thing?
No, it's locked up, but they have had vandalism, that is for sure. Anything that's left abandoned, he gets vandalized, and things have been stolen, and pipes have been stolen, and electrical have been stolen. It's not lived in, thanks be to God. We're moving towards trying to get that property.
Okay.
Because it will allow, it's immediately adjoining our present property, will allow us to grow our school. And not all the students in our school are Catholic.
Yes.
And that's where it's a little different from the other schools of the Society of St. Pius X. But half of our students are Catholics. Another 25 or so are catechumens.
Okay.
But I will not baptize the catechumens very readily. We have lots of children who are not baptized. But it's at least 2 years of preparation before you can see that they're serious about keeping the faith.
Yes.
Right.
Before they can be baptized. And then, because they have to prove they're going to come to Mass on Sunday,
right,
and they're serious about it, they learn all their catechism, but it's not enough that they learn their catechism. They have to show that they are really determined to live the faith.
Yes.
Correct.
And so we have several coming up this year, and quite a few of our students, even in grade 6 and grade 7, they're not baptized yet. And we're moving there, and hopefully it'll be done this year. Remember, these children don't have Catholic parents.
Oh,
they're here, but their parents are not Catholic.
Right.
And the children are going to Mass every day and are saying their prayers, and they go to Mass voluntarily every day because it's not something obligatory as part of the school rule. We have a school Mass only once a week. But the children who get here early can go to Mass every day, and so most of them do. And so consequently, they're learning a lot about their faith, but their parents are not Catholic, some of them, many of them.
Yes.
And so it really is a missionary endeavor. and which, of course, tries to bring the parents around through the children, but it does not always happen.
I just finished reading Father de Smet's book, in which, you know, as a missionary, he was baptizing the Coeur d'Alene and all of the Indians out west in America. And it seems, now maybe it's just the way the book is written, it seems as though he would go to a village and he would baptize 300 or more children, and they didn't all know their catechism. So I guess I'm wondering, what is the difference? Couldn't you baptize the children? You see what I mean?
You can baptize the infants, the children who do not have the use of reason, if their parents are Catholic and are going to raise them as Catholics.
Okay.
But if they're not Catholic, you don't have the assurance of being raised as Catholics, you can't baptize the children under the age of reason.
Okay.
And frequently we find even Catholic parents have not had their children baptized.
Oh.
Well,
and one of the reasons for that is that they're not married in the church. That's the other complication about Africa. Oh. There are three kinds of marriage, and you can't get them confused. There is the what's called the lobola marriage, or the customary marriage. There is a civil marriage. There is a church marriage. And the church marriage happens last of all.
Oh.
Now, the lobola marriage usually happens first, but you're not going to pay for a wife unless she can have children.
Oh.
So you can see we have this very great moral disorder which is created.
Yes.
Because they won't marry until they have children.
So this.
And then once they have children, they think about paying the money because you have to pay for a wife, lobola. And you can't do away with that lobola custom. Archbishop Lefebvre told us that. Because if a man doesn't pay for a wife, he won't appreciate her.
Oh,
it's
my.
It's very primitive. It's barbaric. But that's exactly how it is.
Holy cow. Father Scott, hang on just a second, because we're going to take this break real quick and go refresh our coffee and get some more shredded wheat. And we will be back with the next segment. We're going to talk a little more about the school and life in South Africa. We're on with Father Peter Scott from South Africa here on Your Morning Tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin, MagnificatMedia.com,
living our faith.